Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to a brand new episode of Lucky Dip. I think today's the fifth episode, and it's kind of an important episode. I finally went out and made myself a little podcast intro, so we're going to play that right now.
Welcome to the Lucky Dip Podcast with your host, Jordan. That's actually me. I don't have anyone else to voice this.
I hope that you enjoyed that. I made that myself, as you can probably tell. Oops, sorry. I might be hitting my... Hold on, I'm just trying to get some stuff up on my computer that I want to talk about. Give me 1 second. I have a few things that I want to talk about today. So, first thing that I want to bring up that's pretty exciting is that, yes, this is our fifth episode of this. And... Hold on. And I have the intro. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I obviously made that myself. It took me, I don't know, maybe like half an hour. So I want to try to get like more like music or something. All of that was actually original though. Besides like obviously the first part from whatever that song is. I can't remember the voice in the beginning from a song with Frank Ocean. It's by Calvin Harris. It's called Slide. There we go. And I just like that as a beginning. But that music in there and stuff is actually an original music loop that I did with my buddy. So he was playing the lead guitar, I was playing the drums, and we made the, what's it called? It's not lead guitar. Rhythm guitar part. Had that on a loop while we did the other stuff. So all of that was actually original in it. And then obviously I just voiced it and put in sound effects and stuff like that. But I do kind of want one that has just more of like a jingle to it. But obviously I don't want to voice that or anything, except I just did this one because I want to start getting intro out there just because I like that. I like having something instead of nothing to break it up. You know what I mean? Okay, so we have a couple things to talk about today. But the first one I want to talk about is kind of just saying thank you to everyone out there. Because very recently, like a couple days ago actually, I just got 100 subscribers on YouTube at Grabba Jabba. So if you haven't subscribed yet, haven't seen my videos, check them out. Tell me if you like them. I've been starting to post weekly now for the past month. I think I've posted weekly. I stopped for about 8 months last year, filming like anything. And I just recently started up again this year. And I want to start doing more stuff over the summer and everything. I'm just trying to figure out exactly what kind of content I like to produce still. That's kind of always been a problem for me, just figuring out what I like to create. But thank you guys. I did actually get 100 subscribers. I made a little fun video about it. And yeah, I'm super grateful about that because I have had channels in the past that get like a couple thousand subscribers. I don't post on those anymore, but reaching your first 100 is like a really good benchmark to get because it's very tough to get your first 100, and hopefully after this it'll start getting a little bit easier and hopefully more people will start watching. So I'm pretty excited for the future. Check it out if you want. You don't have to. It's all good. Next thing is that on Instagram I'm almost at 800 followers, which is awesome. I think I'm like 30 away. I'm at like 770 or something like that. And again, normally like numbers I don't really care about too much, but when you're about to reach nice benchmarks like this, it's just very exciting because Instagram is something I've had for a few years, but I've never really used it for its full potential, I guess you could say. So now that I'm actually kind of starting to take it a bit more seriously, I'm trying to get, you know, do more photography and get my work out there. Reaching more followers does help with that because then more people like can see my stuff and more people will know that I'm legit in that sense. So almost at 800, hopefully we can reach 1,000 by the end of the year. That'd be optimal. So we'll see. We still have like 10 months or 9 months or whatever to do that. So if that would happen, that'd be great. You can check me out on Instagram at Jordan_Brenda98 and follow me if you like my stuff. If you don't, tell me that it's, you know, it could improve. Don't tell me it sucks because I'm just very fragile. I'm just kidding. I don't really care what you say. You can say whatever you want, but I hope you guys would enjoy it. And yeah, so that's just the first little thing. I just wanted to get that out there that it's kind of cool because I can look back at this and listen and be like, wow, at that time, which is recording day is April 15th. So I can look back at this and be like, damn, I only had 100 subs back then and see what I'm at now. Or wow, I almost had 800. Now I'm at whatever. I just like kind of keeping these benchmarks as they come up, just letting everybody know about them. Okay, so let's get on to the first topic that I actually wanted to talk about today. And this is actually one that I heard on David Dobrik. I was trying to say Views and David Dobrik at the same time there. It's what I heard on their podcast today. I was listening. I was waxing my car. You know, it was a terrible winter. It was very cold. And then it was like super hot for a little bit. And then the past couple weeks has just been like rainy and cloudy and not very warm, so I haven't been able to like wash my car and get the dirty all the time. And listen, today was the first nice day. Went to the car wash, spent $6, gave her a good scrub, rinsed her off, came back home, and waxed her. Right? She's a bright blue. I have a Lancer GTS. She's looking slick. Oh, good stuff. I like my vehicles. I'm proud of my vehicle. Bought it myself. Cost me like $8,000, which might not seem a lot to you guys, but I only have a part-time job. I don't make any money creatively yet, except a little bit from an old YouTube channel I had, but that's like $100 every like 6 months maybe. So it was a big deal for me last year. I did that. Anyways, I was waxing my car listening to Views by David Dobrik and Jason Nash, and they actually brought up, David brought up this one point. This was a podcast from about 6 months ago. I'm still behind on them. I listen to them almost every day, but they have a lot. Anyways, it's this theory, a simulation theory that Elon Musk was talking about. It's not really his theory, but it's just one that he talks about. And the reason I want to talk about this is because even before I listened to the podcast today, I did hear something about this because I watched a little video about Elon Musk explaining kind of what this theory is. But again, I'm no expert. This is one of those things. Hold on. Oh, my phone is too far. Okay, I have a note down of what it's called when I do these little segments. Not the news one. That one's different when I talk about news. That's just me talking about stuff, but I don't research it. This is one where I feel like I know a lot, but I don't actually know anything. It's like this actual, it has this name. It's like this psychological thing. I don't know. Whatever. I'll get it for the next one. This is the first part of this segment, okay? So for those of you who don't know what this simulation theory is, the reason I wanted to talk about it is because since I had heard about it before and David and stuff had some interesting points about it, I just wanted to kind of talk about it because it's always something that I found interesting. And I don't know, it's just these kind of theories and stuff, I really enjoy them. It's just something, and same with conspiracy theories. I just love learning about stuff because it's like you never know what's true. You know what I mean? Like you never know, at least in my eyes, I don't know that, you know, this one theory or this one conspiracy isn't true compared to what the so-called truth is, because both of them might seem crazy, but what if these people are right? What if these people, I don't know. It's always something that I've just really been into, so I kind of want to start talking about those a little bit more. So I want to start too by saying that I think Elon Musk is a very fascinating guy. You know, he's very successful as a billionaire. Tesla, I'll eventually want to get a Tesla. I think Tesla's, like, what he's doing is really cool, bringing, especially now that he has some Teslas, that Canadian dollars is a little more expensive, but American, they're like $30,000, $40,000, some of these new models that are coming out. But Canadian, it's a bit more. Still, it's cool that they have cars now, that he's creating cars that are fully electric, that you just go online, customize, get whatever things you want. You don't need to go to a dealership, and they deliver it to you within a month or two, and electric. And I guess the point that I think is cool about Tesla is because they're bringing like this, it was like such a oddity, I guess, a few years ago, and now they're making it so that you can actually afford it. You know, you don't need, it's not like in a car that like you only see once in a while. Like today I just saw two Teslas in my neighborhood. One was parked right like on my neighbor's driveway, and the other one was like as I was leaving my neighborhood, and I'm not even in like a rich neighborhood. So that's my point, is like I'm starting to see them more. And then also with SpaceX, I think that's a really cool thing that he's doing, trying to bring like space exploration, like privatized, because like it's his company. And a lot of times I think governments and stuff, like it's good if they do stuff. But then again, when some stuff private, he can kind of do what he wants. And he's so rich and smart that if he's starting to build this, who knows what we might discover? Who knows what we might find? It's just an interesting thing. Like, space has always been something that fascinates me. And I'll probably talk more about that in future episodes. But SpaceX is really cool, bringing, you know, exploration again to like the modern people, where maybe not modern, like it'd be expensive. I know I've seen some pricing and stuff, and it's like very expensive to still go. But the fact that you might be able to go up and see that is kind of cool, which is another thing that Virgin tried to do with, I was going to say Marlon Brando. That's not the right guy. I forget his name. Bronson. Something. I don't know. He's another billionaire, another cool guy. He's another guy that fascinates me with Virgin. And I know they tried to do that, but it didn't really work. Now SpaceX is trying to do it, and hopefully it works. That'd be cool. And then even like the Boring Company with like flamethrowers and stuff, and he wants to build like tunnels and everything. It's just wild. I don't know. I just went on a tangent about Elon Musk for like 12 minutes, or not 12 minutes, sorry, for like 2 minutes, when I really just wanted to say, I think he's an interesting guy. That's all you need out of this. I don't have any of his stuff. I'm not like a fanboy. I can't afford anything he sells. So, you know, I just think it's cool what he's doing. And I hope eventually I can start to afford some of his stuff, some of his products, and get a Tesla. That'd be fantastic. So now the part of this theory. All right. So what this theory basically says is that we're kind of living in augmented reality or some sort of a simulation. I'm going to get an actual definition up here. Not this isn't Elon Musk's, and this is just the theory in general. What it is, or the hypothesis, I guess, it proposes that all reality, including Earth and the universe, is an artificial simulation, which is most likely a computer simulation. Now, I'm not going to go around saying I believe that, like, computers created the Earth and how I'm living and stuff. I don't know if I'd go that far to say that. Like, everything is created by computers. But it's an interesting thing to think about, right? It's an interesting thing. And what Elon Musk says is that, here's a direct quote from him, from a Motherboard. It's on Vice. It's our segment from Vice or whatever. Is he says, the strongest argument for us being in a simulation, probably being in a simulation, is the following. 40 years ago, we had Pong, two rectangles and a dot. So Elon Musk is saying, that is what games were. Now, 40 years later, we have photorealistic 3D simulations with millions of people playing simultaneously, and it's getting better every year. Soon, we'll have virtual reality, augmented reality, and if you assume at any rate of improvement at all, the games will become indistinguishable from reality. I also just realized this is the exact quote that David and Jason were talking about. They may have got it off the same source. I don't know. I didn't do this intentionally. So as I was reading, I'm like, wait, this is word for word what they used. I guess Elon's also saying that there's like one in billion chance that we're in like an actual reality, like a base reality sort of thing. And, I think this is very interesting, because what Elon is basically saying is that we have changed as a society so much, like technologically and stuff as well, and computer related and all that, in the past 40 years, that it's, and what the future is going to bring with how advanced it's going to get and how advanced it already is, he's saying that there is a good chance that we already are in this simulation, in a sense. So it's very hard to explain. I really, like, I have these ideas in my head, but when I actually have to explain them, it doesn't really work that well. I hope this is making sense. But pretty much it's like, I'll even use my parents as an example. When they were growing up, there was no video games, no phones, nothing like that, right? They had Pong and like arcade games. Now, me growing up, I've had like iPods, you know, iPads. I play PlayStation, like these crazy things. I'm watching Game of Thrones, which literally half of it is like fake. Like, they have dragons in it and it looks real. It's insane. The fact that there's all this technology in such a short time has always been something that's interested me. And also, it's just like, what could the future bring? You know, this is one of the things that I think of quite often, is it's like, if we've already in the past 40 years, even let's say since in the past 10 years, like when I first got an iPod Touch, which was about 10 years ago, to now having an iPhone, having Alexa, don't talk Alexa, stop. You know, stuff like that. It's just insane to me. The fact that we can stream, the fact that like YouTube's a big thing, like it's bringing a different form of entertainment. Like, I don't know. There's so much that is like advanced in such a short time that if you just think what's going to happen in the next 40 years, right? So I guess what the argument for this one is, I could be completely wrong. I could be completely missing the point of what this theory is. But from what I got is that it's like, since everything's advanced so much, it's realistic to say that we're already living in that future, in a sense. So right now, what we're living is a computer simulation, and we're all just kind of playing it because it's so realistic that we can't tell the difference. Which is something that, again, like that might, you might feel like that takes it too far. And again, when some of these theories and lots of times conspiracies and stuff, I don't fully believe anything, but I like to think about it a lot and just think, what are the possibilities that this could be true? Or like, I don't know, just to think, how crazy would that be if like this actually is a simulation, and right now there's like some person who could be me just playing as me, like The Sims, like when you're a kid you know, when we were kids playing The Sims, what if that's what's happening right now, except we are The Sims, and there's someone, poof, I'm putting myself down this dark, deep black hole of what ifs. That's crazy to think about, because you don't know. Like, I don't think, like, I truly don't think that. Like, it's interesting to learn about, and to, I guess, realize it in a sense. But quickly, I just want to say that according to this hypothesis, one of the following three cases is true according to Motherboard and Vice. They say one is that we're living in a computer simulation. Two, there's a strong aversion in advanced civilizations to making ancestor simulations. That is, highly evolved civilizations have no interest in making what are essentially video games of their past. And three, something destroys all civilizations before they're able to advance to the point where they are technologically capable of simulating consciousness.
What?
Hold on. So they're saying, according to that hypothesis, that one of them is true, where either we are in the simulation, where advanced technologies want to make or don't want to make simulations of their past, and that something destroys civilizations before they can create simulating. I've confused myself. This is too smart for me. I'm not a stupid kid, but I don't get what they're saying. I don't really know what that means. There's also increasing interest in the scientific community about finding the nature of reality. Okay, I'm going to not even go into that. I just read that. You can take from it what you want. I don't really understand what they're saying. According to the hypothesis, one of the following three cases is true. Like, I kind of get it, but, like, I don't really know exactly what that means. Whatever. I just read that as I was trying to say something, and it really distracted me. Which was initially spelled out by British philosopher Nicholas Bostrom in 2003. The hypothesis allows for three plausible explanations for the nature of the universe. Whatever. I'm not going to go into that. I'm almost... You know what? I'm just about done with talking about this. It's getting too far advanced in my brain, and I'm just thinking about how wild that would be. I don't know. I guess anything, if there's anything to take away from it, it's that it's an interesting theory to think about. It might sound a little far-fetched and a little crazy. Maybe it is, honestly. But just to plant that seed and just go, what if? What if when you die, there's just like, you just wake up and you're like, wow, I lasted 18 years? Hell yeah. Oh, wow, I lasted 21 years. Can't believe I died from a car accident. That was so stupid of me. And then, like, you just wake up and then you go back into another simulation because you're like, that was a fun game. We'll play it again. Wait, if that was true, are we actually in, let's say this is reality right now. Or not reality, sorry. This is a simulation, okay? Let's say that there are, like, engineers and you're playing a game in reality, which is this, that you think is reality. I hope I explained that good. I have to. It's important because it's setting up for what I'm trying to say. Therefore, is this kind of like Interstellar where on Earth, like where we think we are right now in this simulation, something takes 21 years, let's say, like your life. Let's say I just died tomorrow. I lost 21 years. But then in the actual reality, so the person who's playing me as like a game, do they actually span 21 years in that universe, or is it like something very quick and it's almost like when you play Grand Theft Auto or The Sims and you kind of just go to sleep and your days are like sped up? Like, do we just feel like it's a long time, or do they actually have that? Wow, I've just confused myself. For those who didn't get the reference, if you haven't seen Interstellar, it gets very confusing because they kind of go on about that a little bit, where it's like different points of reality and different time. They work with like time, and it's way different. Like, for example, like one dude goes out and he's gone for like maybe 10 minutes, but back in space, it was actually like 10 years. And then when he eventually does get back to Earth, like when the mission's done, he's still like young, because for him, it was only like maybe a year or two. But then his daughter, who was like 5 when he left, is dying because she's like super old. So basically what I'm just thinking is, it's like, is time the same in reality as it is in this simulation, or is it different? That's literally all I was trying to say. Let me know what you think. I've confused myself, and now I just keep thinking about that. Like, if I am in a simulation, what's happening? I'm also like not a super religious person, but I do find like religions interesting, so that's why. But I'm kind of one of those people, like, I'll learn about religions and stuff just because I like them. Like, I think they're cool to see what other people believe. But I also like to go the other way and look at theories like this to try to explain like how he came about, because to me that's also equal, because nobody can prove how it happened. So instead of just taking one side, like I'm all religion, it happened from this, or being the other side and being like, no, it's science, it's all this, I kind of just like to learn about a bit of all of it, you know. I don't know, that's just what I do. I never dig deep into one certain thing, but I just kind of briefly skim the surface on like many things. It's probably not super ideal, because then I just talk about it like I think I know what I'm saying and I don't, and that's actually what the segment was. So I hope you enjoyed. Sorry if it kind of took you down a little rabbit hole of what the hell is this guy talking about. I'm not high either. That's the thing. I'm completely sober, and it got in my brain and I just kept rolling over the thought of that. Hopefully it made sense too. This is like my first time trying one of these segments. I'm going to get the name. You know what? Screw it. What is the name of the theory that you think you know what you're talking about? I learned about this in one of my sociology classes. Come on. Where is it? Oh, the Dunning-Kruger effect. There we go. Hell yeah. Okay, so that was the first DK. First segment of DK, Dunning-Kruger effect, where I think that I have cognitive ability that is greater than it actually is. So therefore, I think that I'm competent in this, but in fact, I actually know nothing. I am Jon Snow. Great, great episode that just came out a few days ago, or well, yesterday when I am recording this. I watched it, had a little Game of Thrones viewing party with a friend from work and some other people I didn't hadn't met previously. But they're all Australian, very lovely. It was a great episode. I'm not going to say any spoilers, because I am going to have a Game of Thrones episode coming up soon, hopefully before the season 8 finale. If any of you guys do watch Game of Thrones, let me know what you thought about the first episode of season 8. I did enjoy it. It was full of reunions, and I just think the detail that they put into the dragons and some of the sequences they had, it was fascinating. And I think they got everything out of the way early on, so that way they can kind of start getting into the nitty-gritty stuff. That was a little transition into our... Hold on. Sorry. That was a little transition into our mid-roll ad here. We're actually a little over halfway down the podcast, so I'm a little late for this. I do apologize, but today's podcast is sponsored by Turtle Beach Headsets. When you want the best, forget the rest, go with Turtle Beach. Thank you, Turtle Beach, for sponsoring this. I will start using my Turtle Beaches for when I play PlayStation. Thanks for hooking a brother up. What? Yeah, dude, I know. I know I went a little... I know. It was an accident, okay, dude? Yo, chill. It was a couple minutes past halfway through. I'll do it again. I know they didn't actually send me a headset. I know that. Yes, I'm aware. I used the... Yeah, I know, okay? I did have Turtle Beaches, though, so I'm not really lying. I'm just stretching the truth. Yeah, I know it was for my Xbox 360, and that was years ago. Okay, whatever. I need to get back to this. Chill. Okay. Last thing I wanted to talk about very briefly, which is probably good because I don't actually think I have that much to talk about with it. You never know with me, though. I go on tangents, as you've probably been able to see. First, I'm going to exit out of this because I'm going to keep looking at that and reading things and getting distracted about the simulation theory. So we're done with that. We're done with Game of Thrones. I just very briefly wanted to talk about The Artist's Way. It's like this book and this 12-week creative recovery program, in a sense, where you can kind of go through, do some exercises, do some readings and stuff, and it should help you like unblock your creativity in a way. So I've always had the problem, like I briefly mentioned this earlier, where I always like want to create. I've always wanted to do stuff, but I've never really had the I've never like kind of narrowed down my focus on what I want it to be. Let's just say, as an example, with YouTube, I've been making YouTube videos for like probably 8 years. And I started out really good, and then some things happened. I kind of lost my way with like YouTube-wise, lost a lot of motivation. And then ever since then, for the past few years, I haven't been able to really narrow down the focus on what I want to create for YouTube. And in that sense, so that's why this is actually a really good thing for me. I just discovered this. I've just started. I'm only like a month into it, and it's like a 3-month program, like I said. And so far, it's been very, very helpful. That's kind of why I even started this podcast. That's why I'm focusing more on trying to do some more photography, which I actually have to get out and do, because as of right now, I haven't gone out to take photos yet. I have supplies ready. I have people who are not quite ready yet, but they want to very soon take portraits and stuff of them. So I actually have to go and do it. And that's the thing that I'm really bad at doing, is I can plan everything, get it all ready, but then I never actually do it. So, but this program has helped me in that sense already, because I'm starting to, like, I'm doing this podcast, I'm trying to upload weekly on YouTube. Like, that way it kind of keeps me on more of a schedule and just kind of keep creating, keep putting out stuff. And same with my photography, is I'm trying to like build up more of an audience. And now it's just a fact that of the matter is I just have to actually go out and do it and go out and actually take photos to keep working on it. But it's just a really cool thing, because it's just trying to help you become more creative. I just thought I'd kind of mention that, because nobody really knows that I'm doing it. It's not like it's a secret, but it's kind of more of like a personal journey where you will also, like, you know, rely on people, like a supportive group and stuff, as you go on. But in general, it's kind of like more of a personal growth. So that's why, like, I haven't really been like telling a whole bunch of people about it. But I just thought I'd mention it on here, because if any of you listening are creative, or if you think you're creative, or you've always wanted to do something, this is like a really good way to kind of narrow down your focus and to like pretty much validate your creativity. I had a class that I took in university last year that overall is very boring and very like a lot of work. But what I really liked is that the professor made me especially realize that being creative is just as valid of a medium as sciences are. And he made that very clear, that going out, getting a story, or going out and like taking photos, creating art, creating music, creating movies, whatever it might be, documentaries, is just as validating, and it's just as authentic and real. And I'm losing the exact word that I want to say, but it's just as valid for researching and for educating people as is doing like a research study, like scientifically. So if I wanted to make a documentary about the simulation theory, that's just as valid of a medium to like inform people as it is if I was a scientist trying to figure out the algorithms for how this might be true or something, coming out with a report. So it was just something very fascinating. That's kind of what this book is also mirroring, is the fact that as a creative, you are valid. What you're creating is, you know, showing truth in some way. And what it is like a part of you exploring something you're interested in and sharing it with the world. And it's just as valid as any other form of communication, as any other form of research, as long as you do it properly. I mean, I could go out here and make a movie and it's just sucks because I didn't even research. You know what I mean? Like, you have to actually make sure it's good. But I don't know. It was just very interesting. It also helped me realize that I have to start surrounding myself with creative people who are very positive and who just want the best for me, who want to support me, and who want to grow with me in a sense, creatively and personally, because I think those things go hand in hand a lot of the time. If you're around people who are very creative and who are very positive, that'll have an impact on your work, on your creativity, but also on you personally, because you're around people who are cool and happy, fun, and also creating, which is something you'll be interested in if you are a creative or an artist. And especially if it's with the medium that you're doing, let's say photography, if I hang with more people who are models or more people who are photographers and who are like, you know, happy, creative, and inspiring, that's obviously going to want me to work harder, because I'm surrounding myself with people who are doing the same thing as me, who are like-minded, and it's kind of like a nice little support system, a little community you can build. So that's kind of what I've been working on as well, is just opening up relationships. Usually I like tend to close people off very easily. So instead, I'm trying to be more open and, you know, take these relationships as they come up, because a lot of times something would come up and I would just kind of get rid of it instantly. Whereas now I'm trying to kind of like take it in and see what it's about and, you know, meet people and build relationships, make some friends, do stuff like that. I'll be creative. And last point that I want to make for this podcast is that, relating to like the artist way and stuff, is that it's very exciting, because I've said this in a previous podcast, it's like I'm just beginning, you know what I mean? I'm just starting. A lot of times when you listen to podcasts or like you see people's creative work, they've already made it in a sense. They're already popular, they're successful, depending how you define success. If they have a lot of money, they have a lot of followers, whatever that may be, they have a lot of work, good portfolio. I'm just starting mine, right? This is the start of my journey, and that's why I kind of enjoy it, because like, you're all going to be here to experience it with me, to like learn how it happens. You're going to be here for the ups, for the downs. You know, I'm not saying it's all going to be great. Some of it's going to be bad, but when you constructively deal with it, move on in a healthy way, it's just super, I don't know, it's just beneficial. And I just think that's what Lucky Dip is kind of all about. I know I did mention this in another podcast, but it's just something I wanted to bring up very briefly, is the fact that, you know, I'm not out here trying to say, oh, yeah, yeah, here's, like, I'm already successful. Like, listen to this. It's like, listen to this. I'm trying this. Let's see if it works sort of thing, right? So I hope that it can be more of a relatable standpoint where it's like, you know, I don't have a fancy car. I don't live at a fancy place. You know, I'm still going to school. I live at home. But I'm still trying to do this, right? I'm still trying to create. I'm still trying to get out there and meet people and try to make it in a sense. So y'all are along with me for the ride. Sorry if today's was a little more serious. I just really want to talk about the theory. I hope that wasn't confusing. And the artist's way, I just kind of wanted to get a little bit more serious to say that I'm excited for what the future is going to bring. And I'm glad that all of you are here with me through it and listening with me. And we can look back at this as like another benchmark to be like, wow. Or almost like a timeline, a creative timeline where it's like, damn. Back a year ago, this is what I was talking about. This is what happened. So, yeah. It's almost like an audio journal in a sense. There you go. Lucky dip in one word, two words. An audio journal. Wow. Soon with more guests. All right. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Lucky Dip. Again, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Thanks for our sponsors. And I will see you next week. Have a great day, everybody. See ya.
The human has been neutralized.